Here we are again, and I don't know what that noise was. Pastor Joy, my name is Paris, and this is Catherine, and we've been talking about parenting and, you know, the struggles. We have a young mother, ages 3 and 5. 3 and 5, I thought that's what you said. You have 8 and 14?
Yes.
And mine are all grown with their own children, so they're living the full experience as we speak. And which is kind of sweet, because my kids now, it's really sweet, especially my daughter will call me and, Mom, you know, she has a blended family now of 4. And so, Mom, how did you do this? And so, of course, that's sweet. Yeah. And to see them all, I was a mother of 3 boys and then had a girl at the end. And in fact, I have a story of going out there, and I never really grew up playing a lot of sports. I would like to pretend I did, but I really didn't. I was out there. I feel like we were throwing balls, or I just went out to get the mail. I think I just went out to get the mail, and they were throwing balls. I think it was a football, and boy, did I get a face plant.
Oh, no.
And I will never forget all, like, 3 or 4 of them out there all going, and then me, I mean, the full scene. Crying, quivering, you know, my face, yeah. And you feel, you know.
Oh, yeah.
There's the mother that's all not, could, yeah.
It's the boys.
It's the boys. It's the boy world. So also I remember another one was, I'm now pregnant for Grace, and I think my oldest is like a junior in high school, and he's playing baseball out in the field, and I wave at him, you know, I'm here, but I was really pregnant. And he comes and gets in the car, and he says, don't ever do that.
Do
what? Get out the car and wave at me. And I was just so, I guess it was because I was pregnant.
Uh-huh.
And what mother is pregnant at 17, you know?
Oh,
and
no.
So that was funny. But I want to talk about in Psalms 121:27, it talks about that children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are his children of youth. And children are really like arrows, and, you know, it's in our hand, and we've got to aim those arrows.
Yes.
And, you know, speak life over them. And I always have the stories, you know, each child that was born, you know, and I know the same with y'all. Me having them natural was a big deal back in those days, because I, you know, was on drugs, and so having it natural was just at the top of the food chain, and not only having them natural, but being alert, awake, you know, was important for me,
right.
And naming them. And so, of course, you know, Jeremy, David, Nathaniel, Paul, Micah, Benjamin, and Grace, Rebecca, and, you know, we just named them all those special names, and so we really thought we were wet and set, you know, that's it, you know, and of course, have a Christian school, and hey, we're even better, and we got it all mapped out, planned out, and then, of course, family devotions, you know, of course, and we had those, and home-cooked meals, and, you know, all of the above in church, and, but, you know, it's not about really how good your kids are, because you're going to go through seasons where your kid, it's just, you're going to be embarrassed.
Yeah.
They're going to do something, you know, and it's embarrassing. And now we were pastors, so of course, you know, not my child. My child wouldn't do that. And of course, you know, yes, your child did that. But it's them seeing you love Jesus through
right.
it all.
Yeah.
Which I love.
And if I would have known all that more, and so really this is about letting yourself off the hook.
Oh, yeah.
And also, out of Psalms 27, children are lent from the Lord, and meaning he gave us our children only to give them back, like Hannah did in a sense. We raise them, but if there's a point in time that, you know, we've got to relinquish that. And the big lesson that I had learned was in Katrina. And, you know, our house blew and the city blew. And you know, so really all 3 of our kids needed to be displaced. And I always look back at that time and, you know, Lord, did I make the right decisions? And we dropped Grace off with my oldest up in Pittsburgh. And because we wanted to get her in school. And there's so many missteps I felt like I made in that whole season. And, you know, Micah went to New York. Nathan wow. went to Virginia. It was like, and talk about just, wow, my heart. It was my first grandchild was born. Isabel was born. And all of it was just crazy. And the Lord. So we were running somewhere in Pittsburgh. And sorry, it's a big story because we ended up there to drop Grace off. And we were getting ready to leave. I didn't want to leave Grace. I didn't really want to come back to New Orleans. And Frank, you know, this was who we are, what we do. And so I took off running with our two labs or whatever. And the Lord just spoke to me. And he said, the children are led of the Lord. And he said, I've got this. And, you know, he's always told me, I've got this. And give them to me. And you've raised them. You've spoken over them. Your job is to continue to speak over them. And, you know, prayer is huge. Prayer is you just stand in the gap, you know, for your kids. And I don't care what anybody says about them. You know your child, and you know they're going to come out on top. They're like a cork that can never be, you know, right. the great or ocean. It might bobble. It might, you know, go down a bit, but it's always going to pop back up.
Right.
Yeah. And that's our kids, and that's who they are. And, you know, but our job really is we have to remove ourselves from the guilt and the mess-ups and the shame and the shoulda, coulda, wouldas and,
yeah.
you know, and admit to failure and say the sorries and but yet stay the course. And
yeah.
So, you know, in that season I gave them, you know, I really understood that word Lent. And, of course, we all came back together after Katrina a few months later. You know, we all came back down and here we are. Many, many years after Katrina, obviously, and the Lord, he's a good God. So I just encourage you to stay the course, hold on to hope, and, you know, just, again, stay the course, understand prayer, understand the Word of God, and because that's when we all miss it, is we just get caught up in depression.
Mm-hmm.
We let the waves of life overtake us, and I cannot tell you how many times God has spoken to me in those seasons with my kids and the ministries that have started because of my kids and the compassion I have toward people because of my kids. And really, if it wasn't for my kids, I think I'd be the most horrible person in the universe. I think I'd be plastic, fake, and have no understanding for anybody. I'd just be like, well, that's your problem. Sorry, but me, I'm good. So kids are something, and they really bring the ingredients of grace into our lives.
Yes.
So
I love that.
Yes.
I love that. The arrow part in the scripture is saying that kids were like, it's a pointer, you know? And so it makes me think of, like, I have two boys. I'm a boy mom. Both of the boys play basketball. They play football, but they mainly focus on basketball. And the other day, Terrence Jr. had a basketball game, and he loves three-pointers. Normally, he's really great at it. Well, this particular time, he shot it, and he missed. And so it was supposed to be, like, the buzzer beater. So that's, like, the thing right at the end, right before the game ends, and he missed it.
Yeah.
Which they still won the game. Yeah. But, so we get in the car. You get in the car. He's like, I missed a shot. And Terrence's like, do you know why you missed? And he's like, I missed it. He was like, because you didn't point it to the net. So he always talks to him about like his form when he shoots. And so he says, wherever you point, that's where it's going to go. He said, you turned your body to the side and you pointed your trigger finger didn't point to the net. And so going back to that scripture, it's like that arrow, we have to shoot that arrow out and we have to shoot it and bring it to Jesus. And so it reminds me of this quote I had from Andrew Murray about us bringing our kids to Jesus. Can I read it real quick?
Oh, yeah.
And it says, believe deeply what Jesus said. Oh, such is the kingdom, and allow this heavenly element in the child's nature to show itself and to reach out after the Son of God. Make it your aim to teach the child about Jesus and encourage him to come to him to be saved from sin. Beware of coming between the child and Jesus. Let the child under your leading have free access to Jesus. And it goes on, like further on the bottom, it says, let your whole life daily help the child to see Jesus, to live with him, and to long for him. Jesus Christ is meant to be our everyday friend, our companion for every hour. Yeah. And so, as a parent, it's a lot of pressure. It's just so many different things that we have to do. But the biggest thing you could ever do when I'm ministering to these women, specifically mothers, I'm like, you have got to put your kids in a position to know Jesus for themselves. So yes. For a mother out there, I'm talking to you. If you see this video, hey, maybe you're not a believer. One, you want to get you and your children in the house of the Lord. Absolutely. Even if your husband or, you know, whatever is not on board. Right. My mom, like I said, my mother wasn't saved, but my mom, she had four girls. That's a lot of hair combing and getting dressed on Sunday mornings. But guess what? We made a point. She's like, get in this car. As for me in this house, we're going to serve the Lord. She put us in a position. You know, she shot that arrow. She shot us toward Christ. And I'm forever grateful because that's now huge. I have a relationship. I'm in a position to have a relationship with Christ for myself. Yeah. You know.
That's huge.
Yeah.
I would have loved that. A praying mom and a mom that encouraged me to read the Bible. I mean, that's special.
Yeah. I think about that scripture, train your child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they won't depart from it. Whenever you talk about the arrows and aiming the arrows, okay, if you're training your child, if you're, you know, speaking into their lives, encouraging them, teaching them about the Bible, discipling them, teaching them about forgiveness, and teaching them how to obey and all those different things, like training their will to come in line with the Word of God, when they're old, they won't depart from it. That's that aim. That's that arrow, you know. Yeah. So think about that, and then you think about being that example in front of your children.
Right.
You know, because do as I say, not as I do. That age-old saying that we all hear. No, it don't work. It don't work. They're watching you. Your kids are watching you. They're watching what you're listening to. They're watching what you're saying. They're watching all of it. And, you know, I mean, we have to be that example of Christ to our children. And then, like you said, that put them in the position to have a relationship with God for themselves,
right?
You know, but they're looking at you and your relationship with Jesus. That's where they're learning. So
I believe when the word for the majority of mothers, majority of time, we're in the word because of our kids.
Yeah, it'll drive you to.
If it doesn't, then shame on us.
Right. Yeah.
And you will have, you know, and I really just want to encourage mothers. You will have divine encounters as you seek the word for your children, because you'll find that doctors and psychiatrists and, you know, your best friend, whoever, your neighbors, they may not have that answer. And it's a struggle and it's painful and it's embarrassing. And you feel like the world's against you. But again, you'll have that divine counter and it'll carry you all the days of your life.
Yes.
And you'll be able he'll put backbone in your back and, you know, a strength to your step and give you a voice.
Yeah.
You know, and again, to advocate for your children in school and to policemen, to lawyers, to judges.
Yeah.
And, you know, unfortunately, all the different places, you know. And so really, we need a savior of the word, you know, savior's presence and press in and not have an agenda about our kids. Yeah. And it should never be our conversation. And if we don't watch out, we don't even have an identity. Our identity is Billy and Sue and Sally, meaning our kids, and it's all about them and what they're doing. And I even am a little bit, you know, worried about that with mothers, is they literally don't have an identity because then they hide behind their children's successes.
Yeah.
And it just their defeats.
Right.
Then they talk about that all the time. And so it's one or two things, and, you know, I had four children, so couldn't dwell on and just, you know, my child's successes and then negate my other children's defeats and then try to match them up. And it could be, those weren't better and those weren't worse. You know, it wasn't, and that's heavy.
Yeah.
When we begin to treat our kids as, what's wrong with you? Why can't you be like Joe? And, all of that. And I remember telling, you know, my kids, I love how different you are. Mm-hmm. You know, you're different. You're in a good way. You're not your brother. You're not your sister, and not different in a negative way. But unique is a better word. And so savoring God's word and not just creating this Cinderella or Barbie and Ken story when it's not reality. And
no.
And so that's really just to stay the course, to understand God has got them. And so they have to get saved. Your kids aren't saved.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And since when did we just throw out the whole Bible and think Johnny's just saved? you know, I
now, Johnny's thought, a horrible person.
Right.
that is accurate.
That's sin nature, something else. And we can dress that sin nature up all day long.
Yeah.
But we forget that sin nature. Yeah. And I thought it was so precious, even with your 5-year-old, that something has happened in her life that she really felt like she needed to come clean and confess and, you know, bring this out into the open. And that's huge.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, that she felt that she knew.
Tug.
Yeah. You know, of coming forth and saying, Mommy, I'm struggling with something. And just wow.
Yes.
And, you know, and again, with all of us, we forget, they need encounter. And not just one encounter.
Right. Yeah, right.
One encounter and that's it?
Continual dips and drinks and touches.
And that's another thing is get them in church.
Yes,
absolutely.
Have to be. You know, I'm a little leery about the sports mania and sorry, don't throw egg on me. I think sports are important. Sports are important. Art is important. Music's important. But nothing is more important than getting them
correct.
In the presence of God.
Correct.
They need a touch from God.
Yes.
And I run a woman's rehab, you know, restoration center named Mary Song. We're not just looking for sober girls. We're not looking for whitewashed sepulchers. They're all clean on the outside, but still nasty on the inside. Absolutely not. We're going for the full thing.
Yeah.
Because sober or being good children is not what we're going for. Unless I've lost something.
No.
Or smart kids.
It wouldn't work.
No. I have a school. We have a great school. I'm all about my shining and heart's burning, and I'm all about smarts. All my kids are degreed and with degrees and masters and doctorates. I'm all about that. But they got to know Jesus.
Absolutely.
The presence of God. Education's huge, but it's not the way to go. Education is not the way, the truth, and the life.
Mm-hmm. No.
And we as mothers, we have to lead that way. They need to see. If daddy's not on his knees, mama needs to be on his knees.
Right.
Her knees. And they need to see y'all praying. And I love the idea of doing this at the house and worshiping. And they see mama in church worshiping.
Yeah.
Like hands raised and mama taking off running through the church whooping. Mama praying in the
like,
tongues.
Oh, Lord, mama's running to church.
Love.
See, my two would just bolt with me. They're just like, yeah.
See, love that. Oh, yeah? Well, then you're going to do it. See, I love all that.
Right.
The more emotional you get,
the better. The better.
The more shut down and stoic and proudful we all become, help us all, Jesus.
Yes.
It creates a facade, like almost like a facade. They now when they get older, they don't know how to be.
Right.
You know, you want them to be vulnerable and have a tender heart, you know, toward the Lord and toward the things of God and even really toward others. Like, you don't want them to feel so, like, rigid and tight and just plastic. That's not how Christ was. You know, the Bible talks about how he was moved with compassion, like to his very bowels when he encountered people. And he was so moved to the point of action. Like, he wanted to be able to to fix whatever it was that was broken
that's
in these people. And so whenever, you know, we're setting an example for our kids, you want to be able to have that same example. Like, you want to see your kids, I mean, you want your kids to see you serving in church. You want your kids to see you reading your Bible, to see you praying. You want to be doing that together with them. You want to see them. They should see you evangelizing, talking to people about church, whether it be in the grocery store, at the Mardi Gras parades. That is the mission. We're all going to the parade to tell people about Jesus. You know, you're in church worshiping. You're helping at the food pantry or whatever it is. They need to be able. That's training them up. That's teaching them that when they get older, now all of a sudden they can do that for themselves. You know, and it's not. It doesn't have to be a systematic thing. It's just it could be very natural and just organic.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really one of the main reasons. I mean, not whatever, but it's really one of the main key things with my kids. That prayer at night that I do with my kids every night.
How simple.
I was raised in a house. We believed in Jesus, but prayer wasn't something you did openly.
Right.
That we prayed during Thanksgiving and we prayed And that was it. It was literally Thanksgiving meal. That was the only time we ever prayed in my household.
Well,
so I didn't know how to pray. Yeah. I didn't know. I didn't understand. I was embarrassed. I was embarrassed to talk about the things of God. I didn't know how. I didn't understand. I didn't know anything. So that place with me and my kids is very important for me as a mother, because I want them to be able to know that it's okay to, no, we're open about God.
Yeah. Right.
Like, we're going to pray. We're going to pray in tongues. Right. You're going to hear me walking around the house praying in tongues. You're going to, we're going to sing. We're going to, all of it. It's very, you know, that's very important, because, I mean, we're training them up.
We're going to be bold for Jesus.
And it matters. It matters years down the road. It matters to them. You know what I'm saying? Like, I grew up and I didn't know how to pray. I was scared to pray. I was scared. I was embarrassed to talk about Jesus, because not that, oh, it was a, you know, terrible thing with my parents or whatever, but they didn't talk about it. So it wasn't open. So I didn't know how.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So by me doing it, I'm making it a thing that my kids are going to be able to express later in life. You know what I'm saying?
So. It's reproducible.
Right,
One thing I love, we started doing, really my mother-in-law started it. I forgot the name of the book that she was reading, but it was basically about a praying grandmother or whatever. So we've probably been doing it for like almost 6 months now. We started family prayer the first Sunday of every month.
I love that.
We get together, eat lunch after church, and then we pray. So we worship, and then each person take turns, including the kids. And so it's almost ingraining, and they're like, maybe, which is not, but maybe that's the only time that your kids would ever be so open to, you know, like you're saying, y'all never prayed. Mm-hmm. So having that, maybe that's an idea. You just start. I mean, it's really simple. And we don't tell them they have to go long. Whatever it is that's on their heart, you know, you should start somewhere. They hear you praying, and then they have the opportunity to be able to do the same thing themselves. Right. You know, and to see, I love that my kids can see the generations of it. They see us praying. They see their mother-in-law praying. I mean, their grandmother praying. You know, and now they see their cousin and her baby praying. And so it creates this generational, you know, wealth of just loving Jesus and talking to him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's super important, especially with the word, too. I love having, because I'm just big on identity. I stick them, some of my spouses before we started recording, I just stick them everywhere I can. I'll put it in their lunchbox sporadically. That. You know, I'll have like a little paper, and I stick it on the mirror. And then very randomly, I'll say, hey, who are you? Who are you in Christ? And I just want them to just get it. I got it from Mary Song, really. When I was working back there, the girls, that's the big thing that they do. Right before they eat, they pray up and they say who they are in Christ. And it's, you hear it because you're declaring the word, and the word, what doesn't return void. And so it, you know, it accomplishes everything it sets out. And so eventually you grab a hold and you have a revelation of who you are. And so that's one thing that I just brought home with me and instilled in my kids. And so now when they see something or encounter something that's contradictory to that, now they can automatically throw it out, you know, and it doesn't affect them. Because why? They were rooted in the word of God. They know what the word of God says about them.
Right.
You know.
So we encourage you, you find your body language. You find your love language. You find what fits in your home. There's no really right or wrong way. It's your expression as a mother, you know, be it artistic or musically or, you know, education or decorating or cooking family meals, because even in family meals could be beautiful prayer times. And but the main thing is you to be present, and they know that mama's there. Mama's there to help. Mama's there to touch and to heal and lend her hand. And some of the greatest memories I've had as a child was my mother just rubbing my forehead when I was sick and talking tenderly to me.
Yeah.
Very sweet times. And so you find that. And God's going to reward you, and he's going to expand you, and he's going to give you dreams, and we're here just to encourage you. So Amen. We love you, and happy parenting, and it's going to be worth it. It's always worth it.
Yes.
Amen. And again, children are beautiful, and stay the course.
Give yourself a break.
That's right.
Forgive yourself. Yes. Get them in church.
See you in church.
Yes.
Amen. God bless.
Bye.